Welcome to Escapes. I'm Erica Hemphill, and I am thrilled to invite you on this empowering journey. Join me as we explore the art of escaping self-doubt, the constraints of the 9-to-5 grind, the false realities that hold us back. We'll empower you to embrace entrepreneurship, motherhood, and co-working with your partner, and to boldly step into leadership roles that were once thought unattainable. Escapes is more than a podcast. It's a community of resilient women and men who are rewriting their stories, chasing their dreams, and smashing through glass ceilings. Together, we'll share stories of triumph, strategies for success, discuss our failures, and use insights from remarkable individuals who have paved their own paths to greatness. So join me, Erica Hemphill, as we unlock the doors to your unlimited potential. It's time to escape, empower, and embrace. Oh, and elevate. Your adventure begins now. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another podcast episode of Escapes. We are super excited, and I'm beyond excited to have Sam Kaufman on the show today. I cannot wait to dive in with him. Sam and I met through Winrate Consulting. A friend of mine recommended this coaching group. They thought it would be a perfect fit for me. It's a no bullshit, hold Erica accountable kind of thing, which I loved. And so when I started diving into who Winrate was, who were their coaches, I came across this awesome dude and I started following him on all social media accounts. He probably doesn't even know this, but I stalked him for a little bit to see if he was like the real deal. And I came across this video that he was talking about mindset. And it was something that everybody was talking about. And it resonated with me because it was a no bullshit video. And so I was hooked. So I had to figure out who he was, who he was with, who he was coaching with. And now I am honored to have him on my podcast. And he's not only on my podcast, but he actually is my personal one-on-one coach. And I am thrilled to have him here. He is not only an entrepreneur, he's an amazing business coach. He's a podcast host for Never Stop Building. He is an author, he is a husband, and I know that he's an amazing father. So Sam, welcome to Escapes. And dude, what's going on?
Nothing. Thank you very much for having me. I'm very excited that you have this podcast going and all of the people that you're going to help and impact. I appreciate the intro. I have that recorded on the side so I can play that back for myself now on my own podcast because it was such a good intro. Now my listeners can hear how cool I am and how great I am at things.
Well, so. You are so super cool. And so I know about Sam, but can you give our listeners an intro on who Sam is?
Sure. I will. So everything Erica said is true. I am a husband and a father first. That is definitely the most important thing to me in my life. And everything else is really meant to support that. So yeah, I'm a one-on-one business coach, speak on stage. I did write a book. I do host a podcast and all that stuff is really, really cool. But what got me there was I was a business owner first. And what got me there was I was a 22-year-old kid who just got clean from a very, very severe IV heroin addiction. And I had nothing to offer society whatsoever. So I took a construction job. That's what I did. I took a construction job for minimum wage. A job that would pay me. I took a few jobs when I got sober, but the construction job's the one that stuck because in construction, you can, if you're willing to work 97 hours in a week, your boss will typically work you 97 hours in a week. And at minimum wage, that gave me like $10 an hour when I made overtime. And so I was like, I was making more money than I had ever made, not as a drug dealer. And so like, I was just getting reintroduced into society. And I had no idea how to live my life, but I got into construction, cabinet installation and carpentry specifically. And that was kind of the catalyst that led to starting my own company, turning that company into a full-blown renovation company, starting wanting to help other business owners and coaching and speaking and making content because running a company is fucking hard. Can I curse here? I know it's too late to ask now, but
absolutely. This cool. is not butterflies and rainbows every day. Perfect. You know me better than that.
I do. Well, life is not butterflies and rainbows every day either. So that makes sense. But yeah, running a business is fucking hard. And it almost took me out on a number of occasions between gaining a bunch of weight and being unhealthy and not being around for my family. I mean, all the stuff. And so like that's the really high level background is I got clean from a multi-year addiction that was going to kill me. I got into construction because I had to, because I had nowhere else to go. And I saw an opportunity in the trades to make a really good living for myself and my family. I capitalized on that opportunity, grew a business over about 10 years. I've promoted myself to investor in that company. So I don't do much of any day-to-day in that business, any of the renovation company anymore. I focus very much on the coaching, consulting, speaking, people, impact, content side of things now. That's the high level overview. I can go into depth on any of that for you.
So I am like, again, I already said this. I was super stoked for today. And it just goes to show everybody why. I love people that are raw and are willing to just say, this is what my shit show is. And I own it. But look at what I've done, because there's so many people out there that are so afraid to own that, or they're ashamed of where they came from, to where they have to go. And I think that that holds them back. And I think that that's really what resonated with me with the video that I saw that day. Our mindsets are what actually hold us back. So Tell me how did you get from that place of, I am in this lowest place and I am not going to do this shit anymore. And how did you continue to just elevate? And I know that that's probably like this more than an hour that we have, but just in a synopsis, like, how did we go from that? Like, I think that people want to know that, like, how do you go from that mindset to, you just said that you're a coach, you speak, you are empowering people, you are coaching businesses. How did you take that first step and then continue to elevate?
So this has been like a common theme for me as I have become successful and almost in the endeavors. Let me reword that, because that was going to sound real arrogant. This is better. In the endeavors I have been successful in, because there have been plenty I have not. But in the endeavors I have been successful in, there has been a common theme. And it did start with getting sober. And that theme was, I do really well when I fight for my life. And I don't do very well in complacency, when things are comfortable, easy. And I don't mean like once they're successful, because anybody that's had any level of success in any endeavor, whether it be business, marriage, parenting, weight loss, getting it doesn't actually make it easier, because then protecting it and growing it and nurturing it is sometimes harder than it was to actually get there. Right. So I don't mean to say that like getting something creates complacency, because it doesn't have to. But when I got clean, I had tried to get clean for years. This was not like some like, oh my God, I have a problem, let me get help, I got help, it's done now. I had been my first stint in a treatment center. I was 15 years old. It was the first time I went to rehab. And I had been between rehabs and jails probably 14 or 15 times between 15 and 21 years old. And so like, I was not new to like half-assing help, cutting corners. Like every time I always tried to bend the rules to not have to do the really hard work. And the really hard work when it comes to getting sober is being fucking sober. And I would constantly try to cut that corner, find a thing I could use, or just do this on the weekends, or just drink and not do this, or just do this and not drink, or just, and it never worked. And so when the time came, and look, for me, it was a spiritual experience, and I have no other way to like describe this, but like for me, when the time came where it was time for me to get sober, what happened was, and this has happened to me since, this has happened to me in my marriage, this has happened to me in my businesses, this has happened to me in my personal life since then. But when I got sober, I was actually in the most comfortable situation that I had been in clean. I had been kicked out of the state of New Jersey. I mean, literally, legally, like it was leave or go to prison. And so like my mom. Yeah, right. So like my mom can't, it is a whole crazy story. We can go into it if you want. But like, long story short, I got kicked out of the state of New Jersey. My probation officer, I've been on probation for 5 years. My probation officer was like, you take him, he never comes back, or I'm putting him in prison today. That was the negotiation. So I had no choice. So I left and I came to Charleston, South Carolina with my mom. And my mom and stepdad have actually done very well for themselves. So like, I was living in a really nice house. I was homeless in New Jersey most of the time. So I'm like in this nice house and like there's a family and I have two little brothers there and there's a dog and everybody's happy. And there's like, everybody's happy, but like
the fence. The white picket fence, right?
Yeah, they worked really hard and had like a nice life, especially where I had come from. Because they moved when I was 17 and I stayed because I could not leave my drug dealer straight up. They were like, come with us. And I was like, no, I'm addicted to drugs. I'm not going anywhere. I got here and for the first time, I was in this area and I was not getting arrested. And this is all by the grace of God. This is not because I wasn't doing stupid shit. It was just God had other plans for me. I was not getting arrested. I was not on probation. I was in a really nice house. I was not homeless. And, you know, my mom came down one night and I was absolutely like gone, obliterated high. I was on her back porch, probably 3 o'clock in the morning. Maybe I don't remember fully, but I do remember vividly that she came down one night and she looked at me and she said, I'm done. You can live your life however you want. You just can't do it here. And you have till the end of the week to figure out if you're going to, if being a junkie is the life you choose. I love you. I guess I wish you the best, but you have to go do it out there. You can't do this in my home. My brothers were like 10 and 8 at the time. Like they were little, right? Can't bring it here anymore. I mean, I was like stealing from my grandmother who lived, like I was a junkie, like straight up. My mom gave up on me. My mom had never given up on me. When I was 17, I got arrested for selling drugs, a lot of drugs, like more than needs to be discussed. 17 years old. My mom showed up to court to petition the judge to put me in jail, not to fight for my freedom. But my mom was under the belief that if I did not have serious consequences, I was going to die. My lawyer was standing there like, what the fuck is this woman doing? Right. Like, we paid him to get me out of jail. She shows up to get me put in jail.
Put in jail.
That's the kind of woman.
She was being your mom.
She was being my mom. That's correct. But that's the kind of woman that she is, and which I appreciate now. I didn't in the moment.
Right.
So when she gave up on me in that moment, it completely obliterated my spirit. And so you asked, like, what was it like shifting the mindset? I had a complete and total spiritual bankruptcy. I was completely and totally morally, spiritually, inside of my gut, I was demolished. And I had never felt that before in that way. That was the night I decided I was going to give being clean an actual shot. All things aside, I think that all of us deeply and seriously crave being loved. Even when we're making mistakes, even when we're screwed up, even when things are going bad, even when things are going, like a lot of the decisions I believe we make as humans revolve around this fear of not being loved, not having community, being isolated. Like, and there's some psychological backing to that I'm not going to start quoting, right? But isolation, all that stuff. And my mom gave up on me. Something happened inside of me. That I decided, like, I'm going to give this. I can't lose my mom and my brother. I can't. I just, like, it was just like this overwhelming desire. That was the mindset shift. I'm going to die alone. I have to give this a shot. And the very next day, I went to a 12-step meeting, got a sponsor. I picked up the chip and I just started not using one day at a time for the first time really in like 10 years. I started using very young. I was 22 at the time, and that was the first mindset shift for me of like, this is survival. I'm going to die. I have to stop. And I say that to say that, like, when I started my business, it was because I asked my boss I was running his business, and I asked him for a salary of $1,000 a week. And I thought that was like, if I was making $52,000 a year, I would have been I would have been rich in my own head at the time. Like, that was like a huge deal. And he laughed at me and told me, like, I wasn't the right kind of person and blah, 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 blah. And I had poured my heart and soul into this man's business. But when he laughed at me, the same switch flipped again. And all of a sudden it was survival again. And in that moment, I said to myself, and I told the men I was friends with at the time, like, I will never let another man determine how I'm going to support my family ever again. And like, that was another same shift, just in another, like, if I don't do this, I'm going to die financially. Like, I'm going to die in my career. I'm going to die in my finances.
That's right. I'm going to drown.
I'm going to drown. Started my business 30 days later. And I've had those have been the most impactful moments for me where I have pushed my own back against the wall, not the court system, not the boss, not like getting consequences never really did it for me. And I'm just going to be, I'm a sales guy. So like I sold my way out of every fucking thing I ever ended up in at jail consequences. I have been a negotiating salesperson since I could talk, which is part of my personality. What I learned how to do was push my own back against a wall. And every time I have pushed my own, and this is where people are deathly afraid. They're deathly afraid to feel like they're going to die. That's a really scary, really overwhelming feeling. For me, pushing my own back against the wall and saying, if I don't do this, I'm going to drown. I'm going to die. Everything like that has been a huge impactful mindset thing for me that has worked multiple times over and over and over again. And as I've matured and evolved, I haven't had to do it to the level that I used to have to do it, but I still do it to this day. Every time, look, I lost like 50 pounds this year. Like, and I wasn't in the worst spot I'd ever been in. I was working out every day. Like I had a grip, but like in December, I had a moment. I took a photo with my wife at an event. My wife said, I looked at that photo and I was wearing a decent outfit and I was so uncomfortable in the outfit. I looked fine, but I was so uncomfortable the entire night. It was like a very nice event at the end of the year in 2022. And the whole night I felt uncomfortable, too big for my clothes, too tight, adjusting just like everything. And I've been big my whole life. So I have experienced this many times. I was driving home from that dinner and I looked at my wife and I said, I will never, ever, ever attend that dinner in December ever again at the weight I am right now. Mark my fucking words. And I pushed my back into a corner and I lost.
And boom, we're coming up to the December event and y'all can't see Sam, but he looks amazing. I'm so proud of him, but he also is pushing me because I was in the same boat in July whenever we came home and took pictures in Jamaica. And I told you, I was like, I don't even know who that person is. And everybody tells me, you're so beautiful. You look fine. Don't worry about it. But in that moment, when I looked at those pictures, I was like, who is that? I didn't even feel comfortable in my own skin because then I started looking at like, well, how many photos did we take when we went to Jamaica? You want to know how many me and Garland took together? I think there was like 6. And you want to know why? Same thing. Just like adjusting whatever dress I was wearing or the skirt that I was wearing. I was like, I didn't feel comfortable enough, but I'm like you, I like to be pushed till it's uncomfortable. And then when it's uncomfortable, I thrive typically. Yep. I'm not gonna say I haven't failed in any way, but like I push myself almost to the extreme so that then I know I won't fail. Cause then I won't let myself fail because then it's like, well, if I fail, then I failed myself. And then I failed anybody else that I'm trying to motivate to do the same thing. And I don't like to fail. I'm so competitive about everything in life. I don't like that at all. So I can relate to that. I can relate to that a lot.
You articulated that very well. So like that's pushing myself up against the wall. And you know, why I mentioned like I've learned how to do this without like the looking at my wife and saying, I'll never fucking be that heavy. I will never be that weight at that dinner ever again. Seems like a lot less intense than, okay, I'm going to quit my job and start a business. Or, okay, I'm going to stop shooting heroin into my feet. So like the progression is different. And like a lot of people have that in them. More people, there are definitely people listening to this, people that will see this on social media. Like people will hear what I just said and go like, yeah, I do the same thing. Here's the catalyst. The consistency over a long period of time is where people fail. Most people can go into fight or flight mode and pick fight. It's actually very deeply rooted in our psychology to be able to do that. So like all people have that in them. Where a lot of people fail is the consistency over a long period of time, because what happens in order to maintain it once you have it is where like, well, my back's not against a wall. And so what do I do now? So like, for instance, I'll give you a prime example of real world right now. My wife and I have a ton of change happening in our life. Beautiful change, amazing opportunity. We are making lots of big decisions, changes with our family. Like we homeschool our kids. There's lots happening preparing for 2024. I had to call my coach, my fitness coach, not my business coach, but I call my fitness coach and I had to say, hey, we need to adjust this big fat loss push that we're on, because burning fat is very exhausting on the body. It's low food, it's high output, it's high stress, it's low sleep, because like a lot of things, like a lot of things shift when you're in a weight loss fat, especially in like a push. I like to push. I was in a push, like a heavy push, like we were working. And I had to call him and be like, hey man, we need to take the foot off of the gas. I need more brain power. I need more decision-making ability. I need more sleep. I need more recovery. I need more for my family, my business, my clients, because I am declining. I can feel it. My clients probably don't notice. My wife, probably nobody probably notices, but I know for a fact how I feel by the end of the day right now. This is unsustainable for the people I'm supposed to be making an impact on. We have to make an adjustment. And we did. Now, the mental struggle is, how do I convince myself that I'm still fighting for my life, even though I'm maintaining something now? So like, I have no weight loss goal over the next 12 weeks. The next 12 weeks are feel good. Like put on a couple of pounds, feel, if I put on 5 pounds, you wouldn't even notice. Nobody would notice. I'm in such a healthy weight and physique that like, it wouldn't do anything. It'd probably look better, honestly. Like it would probably go right to like the muscular side of things. But how do I maintain the mindset of, this is still part of that journey. This is not being done. This is not an excuse to engorge dessert every night. This is not an excuse to skip workouts. This is not just because we're not pushing for survival for the next 12 weeks. And this is where I think people really get screwed up, because goals are not linear. And I don't mean just the results. I mean the effort. The effort is not linear.
I was just about to say that. You're like me. I like to write down goals and see them. And I like to like, oh, I conquered this. Okay, move to the next one. And it's like a checkbox checklist to move up the, let's be real, it's called level up. Like every time I'm like, oh, I did that. Okay, let's level up. We're going to do this now. We're going to do this now. And I think that a lot of people, no matter what the goal is, whether it's business or fitness, I think you would agree with me, is that when we start to see that stagnant line, we either decline ourselves or we have to figure out a way to change the mindset of, although I'm not going to lose 5 more pounds and that's going to change the scale, I can't go eat a gallon of ice cream because I want to sit on the couch tomorrow. Correct. Like, I don't want to see that level line. And look, that happened to me 4 years ago. No, now it's been 5 years ago. 5 years ago, I lost over 100 pounds. And it was like amazing journey, right? I was like clicking. I was moving. I was the weight that I was at when I graduated high school, and I was in my early 30s and had 2 kids. I was like living my best mom physique. And I was like, yep, hell yeah. But what happened was the maintaining it, because then it was like, oh, well, in year one, I gained 5 pounds back. Nobody realized that. Nobody knew that I had gained 5 pounds. Then the next year it was 5 pounds. Then the next year it was 5 pounds. Now we're like, we've gained 40 pounds in 6 years. Yep. And it's like, now I notice. And so I do think that that's a struggle with men and women, especially on the fitness side. Like, and look, I know the group that we intermingle with, and fitness and mindset is a huge thing for us. And so you're my coach, and you know that we're on this journey of weight loss right now and going back to the gym and staying steady. So that's a great question. And I wrote it down because I want to make sure that I remember that linear goals are okay. So if we go 1 week and we've been at the gym 3 times a week and we're still eating healthy, just because the scale didn't change doesn't mean I didn't meet the goal for the week. And so sometimes I think that especially women, we struggle with that. We typically tend to like to look at the scale and not say, you know what? I had more energy this week, or I was more acceptable in my business. I was more clear because I had more energy this week, rather than saying, oh, I lost 2 pounds this week, or oh, I lost another pound this week.
Exactly.
I know that I struggle with that huge. I want to see that number on that freaking scale go down every week. And when it doesn't, I'm like, damn, I need to add like 30 more ounces of water.
And so staying on that for a second though, like let's play the tape all the way out. Let's say I get to Christmas and I lost an extra 7 pounds, right? And but like my family didn't want me to come downstairs on Christmas morning because I'd been an asshole for 3 straight weeks.
Yeah, amen.
Did I actually win?
No,
I don't think so. Let's say let's say some of these big decisions, I start becoming irritable and snapping at my loved ones or showing up late to calls for clients or zoning out in the middle of a call and forgetting what we're talking about. Like, did I actually win because I'm 3 pounds lighter over this particular season? And so like talking about the goal, like I had to change the goal. The goal is no longer. And so actually, let me go a little deeper on that and articulate a little better. The goal of getting to a particular physique, a particular body fat percentage, a particular weight has not changed. The timeline of the goal has been adjusted because the information has changed in my life. I now have new information that now requires a different level of performance for me in a different category. And the mature human reprioritizes those categories into a hierarchy that makes sense, not just continues to blast through a particular goal because it got written down on a fucking whiteboard 9 months ago. Yeah. And the true kicker there is I blew past my health and fitness goal 2 months ago. I just kept fucking going because I like to keep fucking going because I like to play through the whistle. I like to like, I may have outperformed you, but I would like to outperform you to a point where you feel like you could never compete with me again. I am sick. Like I like
that's
to get.
That's why he's my coach. I really had to
make the conscious decision. I'm not going to lie to you and say it has not been tough mentally because there are days where I feel like I'm not doing enough. And I have to remind myself that what I am doing has changed. It's just changed, but the goal is not gone. And that's why I say like the linear side is what really messes people up because it's like, okay, I was going to get to X by December 1st. So now it'll be March 1st because once the new year comes, all these things are done. I don't have to quit on myself in that 3 month period. I just have to refocus my energy and attention.
We have to pivot. And look, I know we were talking about fitness, but the whole time that we're sitting here talking about that, my mind goes immediately to everything that we just talked about is simultaneously linear with business. Everything 100%. That we just said, because it's just like, it's the same concept when we set goals and in the fourth quarter for the next year. And then what happens when we get to first quarter or second quarter and it's not going the way we want it to go, or something drastically happens in the business or in the market that the market space that we're in and we don't pivot. Then people just immediately start thinking that they failed. And then that whole mindset creeps in that they failed. We don't know what to do when actually all we have to do is sit down and just change our goals for what we're doing. And I think that as business owners, whether it's in business or your personal life, or if it's fitness, when we don't say it's okay to fail and then pivot, we actually end up hurting ourselves even more. And it's the same way for parenting. I'll tell you, it's the same way. Look, my kids, I take a deep breath every day. There's a TikTok right now that's like, I'm not going to beat their ass. Breathe in, breathe out. I'm not going to beat their ass. And like with their smart mouse right now, I have a preteen and I think I replay that TikTok video in my head. And I'm like, if he, you know, so we're pivoting on how we parent right now. Garland and I are sitting down saying, okay, this is not working for him anymore. He doesn't really care if we do this, but let's try something else. And I think that it's key. It's key. And it continues, in my opinion, to go back to the mindset of how we continue to get ourselves stronger and I don't know, read more, educate more, be around people that are the same mindset as you, being around people that push you to let you know that it's okay to pivot, whether it's changing your goals in fitness, change your goals in business, change your goals in your personal life. I don't know. What's your concept on that? I don't know.
No, I totally agree. And I don't even like failure as part of the equation for like, again, like I've become a big fan of like information changes, and I'll use 2023 in business as a prime example. Like this has been the hardest year for most entrepreneurs over the last 5 or 7 years. A lot of people started businesses 3 and 4 years ago and had a wildly, very abnormal experience selling and generating revenue. People have been throwing money at businesses for the last 3 years, like hand over fist, getting rid of cash. And a lot of adjustments needed to be made this year. Wild adjustments to expenses, adjustments to sales processes, adjustments to marketing campaigns, adjustments to how we approach clients, and adjustments to how we communicate, adjustments to how we develop a know, like, and trust factor. And most business owners didn't want to do that because the way it was working before was working and there was no need to proactively adjust. I remember telling people in January, hey man, you've got to dial in. This process is going to bite you in the ass in September when it's close to holidays. People are going to tighten up their wallets by summer. I'm telling you, like, interest rates exploded this year. Like, things are going to change. And I watched revenue just get decimated for people as the year went on, because of the unwillingness and inability to pivot. But what we really need to understand is information changes all the time. The problem most people have is not that they don't get the information, they don't understand the information, they're scared to adjust based on the information. And so using kids as a prime example, and yes, this is all business and parenting, and it's all the same. It's just life. Like, there's no, people separate like entrepreneurship from like people who work jobs. It's all the fucking same. It's all the same. It's just when you own the business, you are much more required, much faster to figure out how to grow the fuck up, or you are going to go downhill faster than if you just like work a job for 40 years.
Right.
It's just a different speed.
A snowball effect, really quick.
Really quick.
Really correct. Quick.
But like parenting, for example, like I have a 14-year-old and an 11-year-old. And over the last 4 years, the day my daughter turned 10 and entered like middle school to where she is now at 14, it has been, I'm telling you, every 80 to 160 days, I've had to adjust my parenting style. She is growing up so fast. She is receiving information all over the place from peers, from music, from phone. Like, there has been so much adjusting. And for the first 2 years, it was one of the hardest things I ever had. I didn't want to adjust. And the reason I like to talk about my daughter specifically is because this is where a lot of entrepreneurs stay completely stuck. Is like, I didn't want to adjust because I overhyped what being a dad, not overhyped, but I loved being a dad to my 9-year-old.
Yeah.
I loved being a dad to my 8-year-old daughter, my 6-year-old daughter, that little girl who didn't want to talk to anybody and just like to be attached at the hip, and just, I was her super. And so like, we romanticize what it used to be like, and we fight stubbornly and aggressively to prevent it from growing. But like, my daughter's mission in life is to grow. And my mission as her father has to be to grow with and for her, not hold her back, prevent. And I remember like the epiphany I had where I realized that I was going to do nothing but ensure that she never, ever, ever would trust me ever again. That she never, ever, ever would feel like my princess ever again if I continued to aggressively fight back. Mm-hmm. And so I stopped, and I like, how do I take interest in what she's interested in? And like, how do I walk this path with her? How do I do the things that she likes to do with her? How do I adjust my schedule? So one of the things I do is like, I adjust my calendar every 90 days. Like, you're going to get adjustments requests for January here in the next 6 weeks. All my clients will, everybody will, I adjust every 90 days based on the season of my family and my life, because their schedules and their needs change every 3 to 6 months. And so every 3 to 6 months, I adjust how I approach my day so that I can walk with them first. Because if I can walk with them first, I never have to be on a call with you wishing I was somewhere else.
Right.
If I prioritize them all the time, they always come first. I never have to sit on a call with you guilty that I'm not doing something for my family.
No, we get that question all the time. You know, people say, and I think we talked about this once or twice before, I'm not sure, it might've been with Kenny, but my hours are set at the office. It is Monday through Thursday. I am off on Fridays. We open at 9. My office closes at 3:30. Tuesdays and Thursdays are my late days. And it is all based upon that when I started my business, I want to be able to bring my kids to school every morning because that's our time. It's our time to just talk. It's our time to get ready for the day, positive affirmations, whatever we're doing on the way to school that morning. Sometimes it's arguing with my daughter because she doesn't want to get out of bed. She doesn't like getting up, that early in the morning, but it's like getting her in the right mindset to be ready to go to school. And I wanted to be that person with them in the morning. And then also picking them up in the afternoon. I think me being there as a mom, picking them up in carpool is what I wanted to do. And there's no deviation from that. I pick them up, they come to my office. I help do homework or whatever, but then once they go to their sports in the afternoon, we bring them, I'll set up afternoon meetings. I'm okay with that. I don't not host meetings because I pick my kids up at school and the day just ends at 2:30. But everything that Garland and I do and set up our schedule revolves around what the kids are doing and how we're trying to be there for them. Because I want to make sure, just like you said, I have a son that's 12 and he's in that like funky age where like mom's cool when nobody's around, but then when my friends are around, mom, don't be by me kind of thing. Yeah. I'm really struggling with that because my brother is 10 years younger than me. So he was always about me. He was always about my mom when I lived in the house. So Garland is the youngest of five boys. So he's like, quit hovering him, let him grow, let him do, let him be. He's got to start being a young man. And so walking those journeys with him, I need to make sure that I'm there so that he can entrust me, so that he knows that no matter what we're going through, whatever he's going through at school, because there's been some rough times at school for him lately. He doesn't know exactly where he fits in. He's very smart, but he's very athletic. So, you know, that's really not the cool place right now. You know, he's like, they call me a nerd. They call me these things. And so trying to make sure that I am that open book for him, and work obviously is important. That's how we make money. That's how we do life. But my number one priority is being a mom and being there for my kids. And then everything else can come after that. And we'll jam pack days and we'll do calls and we'll do meetings and all that. But 7:30 in the morning, I'm with my kids. Even my subcontractors know, do not text me unless something is on fire, because I'm not answering the phone, because that's my 15 minutes with them in the morning to get them to school. And then the same thing from the time I get in carpool line until I pick them up, give me 45 minutes and then I will answer whatever emails or calls that you have. But I am very adamant about that. And people ask me all the time, how do you make your schedule work like that? Well, it's pretty easy. That's my mission. That's my value. That's my why. That's why I come to work. That's why I, you know, do remodels and houses and investments, because of them. If I don't have them, then I don't need anything. Might as well go to work at Walmart, I guess. I don't know. I could be a greeter. I could be a greeter because I'm social, but you get what I'm saying. Like, I think that I know so many parents that feel guilty because they have to go to work every day and they miss things with their kids. And I was that person. I worked in the oil and gas industry. I was working 50, 60, 70 hours a week, traveling all the time. And I had the best boss in the world. I loved my boss, loved my job, hated the time that they took away from my family, hated it. Garland, he worked from 3:30 in the morning until 6 o'clock in the afternoon for a corporate job and hated it. Hated it. And so I think that that's a huge thing, playing and pivoting so that we can make sure that our schedules work for our kids. I love that. I think if more people would get more sound with that, it would become more of a norm. Right now, it's not normal. I think you know that if you talk to a lot of entrepreneurs, like they feel guilty if they're not accessible 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yeah, I used to,
a couple of things I learned on that. One, 9 out of 10 times, the person calling you when they shouldn't be calling you can absolutely find the answer without you. It's just easier to call you because you're a catch-all. You fucking know everything and they know you know everything. It's easier to call you than call the other person who might have to call you back 10 minutes later because they are also obsessively undisciplined with their time, their organization, and their energy, which is not
my... They want immediate gratification. Immediately. Correct. They don't want to send an email and wait 24 hours for the answer.
Correct. So like the urgent matter that you're handling because of your lack of preparation is not a fucking emergency for me.
Oh my God. Say it again. Say it again. Say it loud. Say it again. Come on. They need to hear it one more time. Everybody that's listening, they need to hear it one more time.
I don't even remember how I worded that, but like your urgent matter because you lacked preparation is not an emergency for me. I don't give a fuck. And so when I stopped answering the phone, magically things continued getting done and answers continued to flow in through the teams and things continued to be fine and all that good stuff. That's first. So like discipline, you're very disciplined with that, which I admire very much. I coach a lot of people, and I've dealt with a lot of people who really struggle with that. I used to struggle with that. Not just when I had a job, but when I started my business, I struggled with that. I needed to be available at all times, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And like, I'll never forget, like, I stopped that years ago, but that was just like step one in the progression of like, we are going to build the life that we want to live. And if God sees fit that we're supposed to get wealthy while we do it, awesome, then we will. If God sees fit that this business is going to thrive, great, then we will. But I know for a fact that our purpose is to serve and develop for our family. I know that. There's no question there. But I don't know for a fact I'm supposed to be some wealthy, successful entrepreneur. That's just what I want. I don't know for a fact that I'm supposed to have a bunch of money or a great house or a certain car or travel. I don't know any of that. The only thing I know for a fact is that I am legitimately spiritual. I am destined to raise this family. I am supposed to. That I know for a fact. I know that loving people, making an impact, being positive, being faithful man, I know for a fact I'm supposed to be those things. Everything else is up in the fucking air. And everybody thinks like if you just lock on and manifest, and like I actually do, I believe in manifestation and all that great stuff, but that doesn't mean you've manifested something good for you. That doesn't mean that you've created something that you're actually supposed to be doing. It doesn't mean that your creator actually wanted this for you. Remember, we have free will here. We can do whatever we want. There's a lot of very, very shitty fucking people who are very, very financially successful with very big businesses and all the stuff and all the things. But you said it perfectly. Those things mean nothing if I don't have my wife, kids, grandkids to share them. It doesn't mean anything to me. For what? And I had to, I remember the moment I locked in on like the vision for my future. And it was all that great stuff. I like nice things. Do not get me wrong. I'm a bougie motherfucker. I like nice stuff and I want some of that. And I do like having money and all that's great. I have nothing against that. But when I visualized my future, it was always with my family and like some, it was always like group stuff, like group vacations and like group at the big house and group holiday dinners. And when I visualized what I wanted, I want to provide what I think is an amazing experience in life for the people that I love. So if I sacrifice the people I love to get there and then beg them to come back and experience it with me, remember, like they're not interested in a big table full of food and a nice house with a shitty dad. They won't come. And every family would prefer, every child, I believe this, would honestly prefer a really beat up table in an okay home with an amazing mom and dad. Like you can't buy that. So we prioritized it, right? We decided as a married couple, we are going to build the life of our dreams. And it started with, we decided to homeschool our kids. And I'll never forget the day we did that. I was in Texas for an event the week before that school shooting in Uvalde, Texas. And I got back from the event 3 days later, there was a massive school shooting in Texas. I saw the news or whatever, like on my phone. I did some digging because I always check if things are actually real because I don't believe anything anymore. I did some digging. I called my wife and I said, we're pulling the kids. We'd been talking about homeschooling for 2 years because like, but it's expensive. But then like our time and like I'm selfish and like I don't want to rearrange shit. Like, you know how it is. Like you got all these great ideas. I saw that school shooting and I was like, that could have been my fucking kid shot in the face in school. Like that could have been my kid. I remember I called my wife and I was like, we're homeschooling the kids immediately. Like we're done. I told her about the school shooting in Texas. She looked it up and she was like, cool. That decision a few years ago was really like a catalyst for us. We started homeschooling our kids and realized everything is made up. Everything that we're told we're supposed to do is a construct that is completely made up.
That and we so, just like, believe in really in all just, fairness. It's just, we feel like this is what we're supposed to do.
Correct. And I'll never forget, like, we took our daughter, her 13th birthday. We were like, what do you want to do for your birthday? She was like, I don't know, but I know I've really always, she was reading some book and I can't remember what it was because I am not that, I'm not academically gifted. She was reading some book about witch trials. Amanda was teaching the kids and they were like learning about witch trials. And she was like, I would love to go to Salem, Massachusetts. We were like, cool, done. That's what we did for 5 days. We took her for her birthday to Salem, Massachusetts in the middle of a school year and used it as a homeschooling lesson and graded the kids on like a paper they wrote when they got back or whatever. I actually don't know what she does. My wife is incredibly talented and amazing mother. Homeschooling would not be possible without her, or the kids would just be podcast hosts who made content all day. That's pretty much what I know. But like being able to just be like, oh, we're going to book a trip to Salem and go, like, and you would think like you can't really just do that any time of year, right? You have to book vacations and family time at Christmas break and spring break and summer break. All that shit's made up, bro. Now we do what we want. We do what we need to do. We take trips as we need to take trips, and we can grade our kids that way. Like, we started that decision, bringing them out of the public school construct and understanding that like, it's all made up. And I'm not like, I actually am very anti-public school, which we don't have to talk about today, but I think that education is very important. I'm not anti-education. I just don't like the way that the public's education system is run, operated. But that's kind of where it starts, where we're taught that things have to operate in a box. And that box is built to make halfway mediocre employees. For very, very big, and I'm not making this up. School actually was created as a way to create employees that work well in the factories during the Industrial Revolution. Like, this is all very much historically based. This was actually, and we haven't evolved past it. And so many families struggle because I think intrinsically we know that the system doesn't really work to best suit the family model as it's supposed to be laid out, which is time together and love. And like, public school is so stressful on kids. Have you seen how much homework your 10, 11, 12, 13 year old brings home in a week?
Absolutely. And look, this is a conversation for a complete other day, because my kids are in private school because our public schools are not where they need to be in our area. And we'll just leave that statement where it's at. So we pay astronomically for our kids to go to private school, but they have hours and hours. I just told you, Aubrey was sick last week with the stomach virus. She was out for 3 days. We literally did 6 hours on Sunday of makeup work straight with a 7-year-old. You know, and so that's hard. But in reference to that, so that we don't get completely on that tangent, because we are getting close to time,
I can tie all that together too for you.
Right. Look, I was just about to say, I will tie it together that so many people are not okay with writing their own story and taking control back and making their visions of what their life, their work schedule, their family time looks like. And it's because we're afraid. Or it's because no one's ever said, wake the fuck up and decide what you want to do. Set the mission statement down, set the values down, set the goals down, and let's just freaking do it. Nobody said it's going to be easy. Nobody said it was going to be handed to you on a silver platter. But if you want to write your own story, open the damn book and start writing.
Yep.
That's my philosophy every day, even to my kids. You want to do something? You walk into my son's bathroom right now. He's got a piece of paper taped to his mirror, and it has goals of what a 12-year-old child wants to do right now before the end of the year and what he wants to do when he graduates high school. That's my expectation, because that's his story to write. You ask my little girl what she wants to do. I want to build houses. Good. How are we getting there? She comes to this office. She helps me file paperwork. She helps me. It's not slave driving. It's showing her that if that's what you want, go get it, girl. I'll show you how to do it. Let's write your story. And I think that that's what I truly fell in love with whenever I connected with you, with Renry, when you became my coach, is that you do have a different story than what I have. Your family life and your family background is completely different, but the concept outside the box is the same. And I think that more people need to hear that. More people need to be okay with stepping outside of the box and writing their own story. And I am in love with that. You were a part of my life, a part of my season, a part of my journey. And so I hope that all the little nuggets that we talked about today, people picked up on, made notes, rewind, rewatch, and come back. But how do they find Sam everywhere to get more reality checks?
Sure. Yeah. Well, don't check in a public school, obviously. I won't be there. And I will really quickly, I just want to say, I agree with everything you just said. That's exactly how I would have tied all that together too, was just, it's just time to expand your mind. Yeah. Think outside the box and understand the construct that was built for us is not a requirement anywhere. And you can really build your own life however you want to live it for you and your family. You just have to be willing to work really hard to get there. So yeah finding me, Sam Kaufman Official on Facebook and Instagram. Podcast Never Stop Building is everywhere, wherever podcasts are hosted. You can shoot me an email if you have any inquiries about coaching or about speaking at info@samkaufmanofficial.com. And the book is available on Amazon. It's called Never Stop Building by Sam Kaufman. So I kept it all very easy and succinct.
To find you. I love it. Sam, I know that I tell you this because we talk frequently. Anybody that knows me, that has gotten to really know me in my business venture, especially over the last year, they have seen drastic changes in me. They have seen drastic changes in my mindset. And I know that that is in reference to the people that I'm around, and that has a lot to do with you. And I appreciate that. I appreciate you coming on today. I am so humbled. I am excited to completely get to know you even on a more elevated level. But I hope that everybody that listened today was empowered. They were blessed that you got some great information. And I hope that you continue to elevate every single day. And I hope that you join me next week for one more hour to escape the 9-to-5 grind. Thanks, guys. Thank you for joining us on this exhilarating episode of Escapes. We hope that you've been inspired, empowered, and ready to embark on your own journey. The power to escape and redefine is within you. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review Escapes to help us reach more incredible women and men like you. You can also follow me on Facebook at ENG Designs and Construction and Instagram at Build with ENG. Stay tuned for more amazing stories, insights, and strategies in our upcoming episodes. Together, we'll rewrite the scripts of our unknown possibilities. Until next time, this is Erica Hemphill from Escapes. Your adventure continues, and we can't wait to be a part of it. Until next time, continue to embrace, empower, and elevate.